Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. This is episode 199 of The Big Show. We are closing in on our 200th episode around here, and thank you so much for listening, because I just wouldn't do this if you didn't do that. So thanks. There is a ton to talk about this week. I really, really, really want to emphasize the factors that are going to drive mobile commerce as we go forward. Now, obviously, mobile is big in its own way, right? I mean, let's just get that out of the way. Mobile internet use bypassed desktop last November. The web is mobile now, period. Greater than 65% of all digital media time is on mobile today, and that number is growing. And we're beginning to start to see companies test 5G, which is 1,000 times faster than 4G. It's the ability to download full HD quality, full 4K quality movies in, you know, under a minute. That's not here yet, but it's going to be here before too long. And certainly, even without that, people are spending more of their time on mobile than anywhere else. So let's just put that aside. And instead, let's talk about the other three factors that make mobile matter for commerce. Those three factors are mobile payments, millennials, and very, very shortly, voice. Now, for anyone listening right now, if any of those three topics cause you to eye roll because you're like, well, yeah, we've heard this before, blah-de, blah-de, but hang with me for a minute. I promise it'll be worth it to you. Okay, so let's start with mobile payments. First, we're starting to see some really interesting things, but I want to start with Starbucks. Let's not talk about where mobile payments are going to be big, and let's talk about where they are big. Starbucks just released its latest quarterly earnings report, and they said that they get 30% of their payments from mobile. This is according to GeekWire. I'm quoting the article, payments made via mobile increased to 30% of transactions in U.S. stores, up from 29% the previous quarter and 27% in Q1. That's a huge number, 30%. Right now, will that number ever reach 100%? No, of course not. But do you want to prevent 30% of your customers, or even 10% that, for that matter, from making a payment at your store, your restaurant, your hotel? I mean, that seems like a big number to me. They also got 9% of their transactions from what they call mobile order and pay, which, again, this is GeekWire, says it's a feature that lets customers order with their smartphone via Starbucks app and skip the line. It accounted for 9% of transactions. That's up from 5% a year ago. So essentially, they've doubled that in a year. And again, it's only 10%. Yes, it's probably not going to be 100% next week or next month or next year. But do you want to stop 10% of your customers from doing what they want to do? I wouldn't. The next thing we want to talk about is a study from the UK. Now, this is Barclaycard that shows this. I'm quoting Internet Retailing. Quote, show a growing acceptance of contactless payments among consumers. The credit card company questioned 2,003 UK adults through Opinium research in July and found that 59% now use this payment method, with 71% saying they now use it more frequently than they did a year ago. The major attraction it found was the time saved, cited by 55%. Again, that's huge. And plenty of research over the years has shown that offering multiple payment options, and I will link to a bunch of these in the show notes, but it improves conversion rate by 10% or more. So mobile payments make it easier for people to do what they want, and they like it more. Now, another factor that we have to think about are new entrants. Brian Remley on Forbes, originally on Quora, but Forbes just took his Quora answer wholesale. I love Brian Remley. I follow him on Twitter. Really, really great guy. Talked about the introduction of Amazon Pay Places, which is Amazon's new mobile wallet. And now, to be fair, it's only available in a few locations to date. I think they're doing it with TGI Fridays, and it allows you to basically do mobile order and pay like Starbucks, but for TGI Fridays. But I don't know if you've heard, but you know how Amazon just bought Whole Foods? How long do you think it's going to take them to introduce Amazon Pay Places there? This is Amazon's second go-round at mobile wallets. They didn't succeed the first time they tried it, but by connecting it to the retail experience, I think they're really on to something. Because people like to pay the way they want to pay. And if you can just pay with my Amazon account, there's going to be a lot of customers who are simply going to choose that as the default option. I don't know if you know this, but the Amazon app exists on some 75% of mobile phones. That's a big deal, right? That's a huge deal. And unlike Apple Pay, which I'm a big fan of, or Android Pay, or Samsung Pay, it works across iOS and Android and Samsung and what happened, right? I mean, everybody has the Amazon app. So that's a big deal. And I think that's going to be a big, big win for Amazon. So that's the mobile payments. Now, let's talk about millennials for a second. And I know we need to stop talking about millennials as if they're different from everybody else, because in many ways, they're not any different. But there is at least one case where they genuinely are different. Millennials have grown up with mobile and mobile payments and Starbucks and Amazon. Think about what it's like to pay for an Uber or an Airbnb, right? You just walk away. There are people who say millennials feel entitled. Well, anyone younger than maybe 25 or 30 simply takes it for granted that the world works a certain way. Starbucks, Amazon, Uber, Airbnb have taught them that. They've learned that paying for things should be easy. And you know what? They're right. It should be easy. I've told the story about standing in line to pay at a CVS and seeing this big yellow laminated sign, you know, homemade clearly, but they laminated and everything, taped to their card reader, explaining how to pay, which blew my mind. Why has something that should have zero friction suddenly become so complicated that we need to put instructions next to the card reader explaining to customers how to pay? Younger customers, who are accustomed to how easy Starbucks, Amazon, and Uber make paying for things, simply aren't going to put up with challenges when it's time to pay. They'll just choose to shop somewhere else. And given time, so will a fair number of all your other customers who aren't millennials, too. We want to make this easy. The last thing you want to do when somebody's ready to hand you their money is stop them and make them think about it. You don't want to make that hard. You want to make it easy. And younger folks, people, you know, in their 20s and 30s, expect that everywhere. They don't know enough from experience perspective. Obviously, they're really smart, but they don't know enough about the way things used to work to be frustrated. To accept the fact, rather, that it doesn't work perfectly every single time. So they're going to choose places that make it easy. And again, so will their older brothers and sisters and parents too, as we go forward. Now, the last factor that's really critical, and probably a little early still, but is voice. When we think about Siri or Google Assistant and we want to buy something, we're not going to sit there and type in a credit card number. We're just going to say, hey, Siri, or okay, Google, use my credit card. Pay for this. it won't matter which voice assistant your customers prefer, which one you prefer. Your customers won't want to or be able to easily enter additional payment details when they're talking to the operating system or talking to the app. They'll just say, put it on my card, and the system will know. Oh, and remember that 75% of phones with the Amazon shopping app? Well, Alexa is now built into that app. And that's a bit of a Trojan horse for Amazon over time, don't you think? Candidly, it's probably going to be more like a Trojan elephant, right? I mean, it's harder to use Alexa on a mobile device than using Siri or Google Assistant, but it's there. And when you combine it with Echo devices and Siri and Assistant 2, you got to expect customer behavior to shift here. This is a big deal and something you need to pay close attention to because it's going to shape customer behavior rapidly. So, what do you do about this, right? We got mobile payments, we got millennials, we got voice. Great. What do you do? Well, first, you've got to look for ways to make it easier for customers to pay you. Enable alternative payments. According to Financial Times, PayPal reported its mobile payment volume jumped by 50% during the quarter and accounted for more than a third of its payment volume during the quarter due to Venmo, which it owns, Zoom, which it owns, Braintree, which it owns, and its namesake brand's usage on mobile. Customers expect to be able to pay with whatever payment option works for them, and on mobile, it's harder for them to choose an alternative, so you got to make it easy. Pressure your vendors of your shopping cart software, card readers, booking engines, what have you, to accept mobile payments too. And if they don't support your customers' needs, well, then you need to go shopping for someone who does. The point is to remove friction at the point of sale. Mobile payments are going to do that. Millennials are going to expect it. And in time, voice is simply not going to give people any better option. They're just going to say, okay, Google, pay. And that's why now more than ever, it's time for mobile commerce. That's why now mobile commerce is going to win. And you're only going to win if you make it easy for customers to do what they want. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week, but I want to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 199. And while you're there, you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there, so you can get this delivered to your favorite podcatcher every single week. You can also subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Plain Old Thinks Out Loud. And if you could provide a rating on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher Radio while you're there, I'd really appreciate it. That would be awesome. You can contact me by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. Or on Twitter using the handle @TCPeter, or via email with podcast@timpeter.com. Again, email podcast@timpeter.com with any comments, questions, complaints, concerns, discussions you want to have. I'd love to hear from you. With that, I want to say thanks again for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I hope you have a fantastic week ahead, and I will look forward to seeing you back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Until then, take care, everybody.